Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
It's Stand By for News. I'm Tom Rowe in Anchor, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we have a busy show for you today. We've got a brand new song, production, let's say, from Randy Rainbow to premiere, and it's a doozy. We'll also hear from retired meteorologist Hugh Johnson about the West Coast hurricane and earthquake, and more about our local weather. We've got other songs from Mad Professor and the Pogues, national headlines from the Public News Service, and the local better weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
In air waves controlled. On air, in air channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news.
Hi, this is Terry Manning, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC Accra.
Take two.
The Athens Cultural Center is pleased to host the third Saturday's free film series at the Athens Riverfront Park along the Hudson River. Join us on the third Saturday of each month, May through September, for a stellar movie lineup with notable guests. Screenings begin at sunset, but get there early to enjoy thematic specialty cocktails from the Stewart House's River Grill and settle in with friends on the lawn. Visit AthensCulturalCenter.org for more information, including this year's featured films. Third Saturday's free film series is made possible by Create Council on the Arts, the Fair Games Arts Grant, and the Stewart House Tavern and River Grill. See you this summer!
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth Lojudis of Hanacroy, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Wednesday, August 23rd. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stores. Roger Hennigan-Gilson reports for the Times Union that the previously announced sale of a media group covering Columbia and Greene counties to the Daily Gazette in Schenectady is still not official. The newspaper says a memo to the Columbia Greene media staff of the Register Star and Daily Mail in March said the sale could go through as early as May 1st, but it is August and the sale is still not complete. Daily Gazette publisher John D. Augustine told the Times Union that the sale was waiting on any, quote, legal due diligence that needed to be completed, unquote, by Columbia Greene Media. Johnson Media Corp, DeAugustine explains, would have to clear any liens on Columbia Greene Media before the deal could go through. Quote, we need lien releases, and until we can get those, we are unable to do the deal. But they have to be prepared to do the deal, unquote. The story notes that in 2021, Columbia Greene Media Corp was sued by its former landlord. They claimed in a court filing that the media group had failed to pay 6 months of rent and broke its lease when it relocated to offices in Hudson City Center. Read more about this story in the Times Union. William J. Kemble reports in the Daily Freeman about another local development battle, this one over the 840-acre Winston Farm, the Saugerty site that hosted the 1994 Woodstock Music Festival. Developers want to split it into 14 estate parcels, with 66 single-family homes, a village area with 57 single-family units, 13 cabins, a commercial area, a boutique hotel, a hotel with a water park, an amphitheater, an event center, and a campground. Others are hoping the land can be preserved and want the Open Space Institute to step in and buy the property instead. Saugerties supervisor Fred Costello says that probably won't happen. Quote, it's not the first time there's been outreach by members of the Saugerties community to get them to consider the property, unquote, Costello said. Quote, in the past, they've waved it off, unquote. Open Space Institute communications director Siobhan Gallagher-Kent admitted that there have been discussions but would not say how serious talks have gotten. Kent said, quote, we're always interested in conserving land whenever it becomes available, but right now it would be really, really not be appropriate for me to comment on what we've done or not done on a particular property, unquote. Winston Farm spokesperson Joshua Sumners, meanwhile, said that the owners, quote, remain committed to their proposals, unquote. Costello is now suggesting starting a program similar to the one in Red Hook's zoning, establishing a fund for the purchase of development rights. Costello said, quote, maybe there's an opportunity for a synergy between all parties. Developers would get the privilege to develop certain areas of the property that the data tells us would be least impactful but achieves those goals of housing opportunities and job opportunities, unquote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Michael Ryan reports for the Mountain Eagle that the Jewett Town Board had to waive the local noise ordinance to do it, but last week they approved a public assembly application from resident Floyd Dart for a tractor pull on September 9th. Town Supervisor Greg Croyer said, quote, there will be a time during this event we will potentially exceed our noise ordinance requirements, unquote. Tractor pulling contests originated with animals, mainly horses, in contest to pull the most weight. Most often farmers would have teams of draft horses competing to carry the heaviest loads over the greatest distance. The tractor pull was previously being held in Durham. Dart said, quote, I am doing this for the kids who have asked me to do it. The event will be held near the intersection of Crossroad and Route 13 on back roads, rain or shine. Read the full story in Porcupine Soup and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, August 23rd. Local early morning temperatures range from 48 degrees in Steventown to 55 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 68 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be high, otherwise it's going to be another nice day. Mostly sunny with a high of 79 at 4 p.m. Overnight temperatures drop to 59 degrees. Tomorrow morning chances for rain enter the area. They get stronger through the day and we see a high of 69 at 3 p.m. Rain should cover the area by dark and last all night, seeing a muggy low of 64 degrees. Friday, still kinda rainy with a high of 75. Saturday, high of 77 with some light rain chances in the afternoon. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 2:14 a.m., high tide at 7:46 a.m., low tide again at 2:01 p.m., then high tide once again at 8:25 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 73 degrees and the tide strength will be average. Sunset today will be at 7:32 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:08 a.m. Looking way up, we see plasma winds will be average at 424 kilometers per second with an average density of 6 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. There are no chances of aurora this evening, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Spreading together. And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
Well, we're back again, and joining us now on his way to surrender at Georgia's luxurious Fulton County Prison, GOP frontrunner Donald Jessica Trump. Or do you prefer RICO racketeering? Let's cut the shit. You've just been indicted a fourth time, bringing the total number of felony charges against you to 91. Just 9 more and you get a free mugshot.
It's called election interference because I'm leading everybody by a lot in the polls for every Republican, frankly, and every Democrat, including Biden, by a lot.
You know, I gotta hand it to you, Mr. Former Fake, One Term Twice Impeached, Currently 4-Time Criminally Indicted, Not My President Girl. When people call me names or, you know, threaten to lock me up for 70 years for plotting to overthrow democracy, I'm in bed for a good week. But you just keep throwing parties for yourself.
Last night I had a rally with tens of thousands of people.
Good for you. Forget those trolls. You've got a country to destroy. You know, your delusional narcissism is inspiring.
Don't do it.
In fact, it reminds me of a song I once knew.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Don't tell him he's a dirty lying bragger. Life's Big Macs and the sun's a ball of MAGA. Don't anybody dare a rain on his parade.
I don't have a lot of time.
Don't call him when new charges have arisen. Don't tell him he's about to rot in prison. Don't even just a hair a rain on his parade. His whole campaign went right off the rails.
Perfect phone call.
Still each arraignment just makes his day, girl. So don't you try to spoil it. Hey, girl, those boxes in your toilet. But whether he defies a fair election or tries to organize an insurrection, this simply awful, slimy asshole of a guy. He won't be bested when he's arrested. He just bamboozles and bluffs. Ooh, ain't he nutty? He can run, but he can't win a race in handcuffs. No time for DOJ to dilly-dally. Tell Jack Smith, go away, he's got a rally. So take a hike and don't rain on his parade. He's gonna run and run fast. Run from his criminal past. Watch how he tops every poll. Once he gets out on parole, he's headed right for the slam. One more indictment and damn! Hey, Mrs. Willis, here he is.
I'm afraid.
He's so indicted.
I didn't do it.
And he just can't fight it.
People are very angry about it.
He's about to lose in court and he doesn't like it.
For a perfect phone call.
He's so indicted. They've got him burning. He just can't fight it. Crimes keep turning up. And yet they still seem to want him. Set him free, Fuzz. Quit stomping on his garden because he's counting on a pardon. Melania, go ring Janina Tucker. They're gonna need to spring this mother no. Penny, oh no, hunty.
Indictment.
Don't go a rain on his.
Perfect phone call.
I'm afraid.
He's so indicted. Hello, nauseous.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, a twice-monthly radio show where we talk about all things movies. This is Jenny here with our showtimes for the week of August 22nd. Starting with the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York, we have Barbie, Oppenheimer, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. And you can find specific showtimes at wyndhamtheater.com. Heading on over to Coxsackie at the Highway Drive-In, we have On Screen 1, Barbie and Pee-wee's Big Adventure. On Screen 2, Blue Beetle and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. On Screen 3, Strays and The Last Voyage of Demeter. And on Screen 4, Meg 2, The Trench and Talk to Me. And you can find out those specific showtimes at highwaydrivein.com. They usually update on Thursdays, so it's a great time to check it out for the weekend. And then at the Greenville Drive-In, we have on August 22nd, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. On August 27th, Malcolm from 1986. And then on the weekend of September 1st through the 2nd, we have The Goonies and The Lost Boys. Very fun. And you can find out those specific showtimes at drivein32.com. Coming on down the mountain, I will give you now the showtimes for the Spotlight Cinema's location in Hudson, also known as the Fairview Multiplex. We have this week Strays, Back on the Strip, The Last Voyage of the Demeter, Blue Beetle, Gran Turismo, Meg 2, The Trench, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, Barbie, and Oppenheimer. You can find out those specific showtimes at spotlightcinemas.com. Just make sure you select the Hudson location. Staying in Hudson, over at TSL, also known as Time and Space Limited, this weekend we have an original TSL production to be premiered as part of the 2023 Hudson Eye Festival, and it's called Said and Done. And you can find out specific showtimes at timeandspace.org. Heading now over to Chatham, at the Crandall Theater this week, it's Oppenheimer, baby. It's all Oppenheimer, and that's thrilling. And to find out those specific showtimes, you can head on over to crandalltheater.org. Last but not least, let's head on down to the Upstate Cinema's locations, starting with the Star Cinema in Rhinebeck. This week we have Cultivation with Dirty Gaia, colon, Kiss the Ground. We also have National Theater Live, Fleabag, Join or Die, Passages, The Miracle Club, Theater Camp, Barbie, Past Lives, and The Eternal Memory. And then heading on over to the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, we have Strays, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, The Miracle Club, Theater Camp, Barbie, Cat Video Fest 2023, and The Adults. And to find out any of those specific showtimes, you should head on over to upstatefilms.org. That about does it for our local showtimes here for the week of August 22nd. Be sure to tune in to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8 p.m. to hear what we have to say about what's new in theaters and what weird stuff we're watching at home. See you then.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
Making sure that the citizenry is engaged, votes, participates, and does so in an informed fashion ensures that we get the will of the people translated into governance the best our system can do.
Kathleen Hall Jamieson, a professor with the Annenberg School for Communication, says greater civics education could help bridge America's growing political divide. The school's most recent survey finds less than half of all U.S. adults can name all three branches of government. Jamieson says a misunderstanding of how the branches work leads to distrust in democracy. Local government is the least polarized, she says, and should be a focus of civics education throughout Americans' lifespan. The swing state of Wisconsin gets the spotlight tomorrow night when the Republican presidential candidates hold their first debate in Milwaukee. Former Republican Governor Scott Walker tells Fox News the state has an independent streak candidates can't ignore.
Voters here like someone that they feel, even if they have a tendency to vote one party or the other, they don't like to be strictly one party.
Four of the past six presidential elections have been decided by less than a percentage point in Wisconsin. Former President Donald Trump is expected to skip the debate. He has announced he will surrender to authorities on Thursday in Georgia, where he is accused of trying to overturn his 2020 election loss. The Tennessee House has voted to approve new rules which critics say limit free speech and peaceful protest. Representative Justin Jones, one of three members expelled from the House earlier this year for taking part in a gun violence protest on the House floor, says the rules silence any member considered out of order.
It seems like my Republican colleagues are more concerned with stopping dissent and silencing dissent than they are about stopping the crisis of mass shootings that should be the focus of this special session.
Governor Bill Lee had called the special session this week to address guns and mental health following a Nashville school shooting which left six people dead. In Washington, D.C., a group of House conservatives has revealed its demands in exchange for backing a short-term spending bill designed to avoid a government shutdown on September 30th. Representative Ralph Norman of South Carolina says it means no more woke policies and no blank check for Ukraine.
If you want to stop a program, cut the funding. And that's what you're seeing the patriots behind me and the House Freedom Caucus willing to do.
Some of the lawmakers have suggested a government work stoppage to force a reduction in non-defense spending. And the settlement of a legal challenge in Pennsylvania means election officials will now be required to publicly report problems with voting machines. Election security advocates say it will provide an account of which machines work best, while others say the requirement will help suppress misinformation about voting machine malfunctions. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Nine conservative-leaning states have pulled out of ERIC, a cooperative of states which uses advanced computer matching to keep voter rolls clean. Now, a group of GOP activists is launching its own system called Eagle Eye Network and pitching it to counties and states and for use by activists in challenging voter eligibility. NBC News and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, tipped off by video presentations to GOP activists obtained by Watchdog Documented, reported that the rollout of the effort is being aided by former Trump election lawyer Cleta Mitchell. NPR reported that Mitchell helped seed doubt and encourage states to pull out of ERIC. As we've reported, Mitchell's Election Integrity Network and other conservative groups have lobbied state legislatures to aggressively pass laws allowing more poll observers, public access to voter information, and a loosening of rules allowing challenges to voter eligibility. The founders of the Eagle Eye Network, spelled Eagle AI, were recorded pitching the system to activists, specifically mentioning that the system would flag the eligibility of voters at homeless shelters and nursing homes, according to NBC. One of Eagle Eye's founders says the group is in talks with Georgia counties. In a statement to NBC News, Georgia Election Director Blake Evans said, Eagle Eye data offers zero additional value to Georgia's existing list maintenance procedures. We've linked our sources at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
when the Yanks they were within. And the Tinker boys they hissed advice but were with a pin. When we turned and shook as we had a look in a room where the dead man lay. So big Jim Dwyer made his last trip to the shores where his father's lay. But 15 minutes later we had our first taste of whiskey. There was uncles giving lectures on ancient Irish history. The men all started telling jokes and the women they got frisky. By 5 o'clock in the evening every bastard there was pesky. Fairly well gone away, there's nothing left to say. Farewell to New York City boys, to Boston and PA. He took them out with a well-hung clout and I often heard him say, I'm a free-born man of the USA. He fought the champ in Pittsburgh and he slushed him to the ground. He took on Tiny Tartanella and it only went one round. He never had no time for reds, for drink or dice or whores. But he never threw a fight when a fight was right, so they sent him to the war. Very well gone away, there's nothing left to say. West Archer Joe and an Aaron Gomer loves in America. The calling of the rosary, Spanish wine from far away. I'm a free-born man of the USA. Yeah! I remembered how I swore that I'd come back to you one day. And as the sunset came to meet the evening on a hill, I told you I'd always love you, I always did, I always will. Fairly well gone away, there's nothing left to say. But say adieu to your eyes as blue as the water in the bay. To Big Jim Dwyer, the man of war, who was often heard to say, I'm a free-born man of the USA. I'm a free-born man of the USA. I'm a free-born man of the USA.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Now joining us once again is retired National Weather Service meteorologist Hugh Johnson for our weekly discussion of weather and climate. Welcome back, Hugh.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Hugh. My name is Nicole. I'm new to the program and love to learn a little bit more about you. What's one thing our listeners should know about you?
I'm probably crazy, but no, I'm a retired meteorologist, and I like to provide very interesting but probably somewhat useless artifacts or information regarding weather.
Great.
But hopefully things that you can take home and learn from.
Awesome. Well, great to meet you.
So, Hugh, Southern California has been pounded by a tropical storm, and there's been a lot of talk about how unheard of that is. And as someone who used to live in California and can attest to that, I'm wondering, what is the main cause of this?
Well, it is unusual. You are correct to get a tropical storm in California. The last time that one hit before Hillary was Tropical Storm Nora in 1997, which, by the way, happened to be an El Nino year, which is what we're in right now. The last time that a tropical storm actually made direct landfall in California was September 25th, 1939. So we got to go back way back. Now, this one did not. Hillary did not quite make landfall. And it actually hit just south of California, in Baja, California. And I might have even been post-tropical at that point, meaning that it was no longer considered a pure tropical storm. But nevertheless, it brought damage. And yes, it is very, very rare. The combination of the El Nino, a trough in the west, and the very active Pacific Basin right now has led to this demise, if you will, of having a storm. You know, you already know this. If you live in California, I think August is your driest month of the year. So it's almost unheard of to get rain in L.A. in August. It's also, you know, it just never happens. And there was a lot of flash flooding. Now, rainfall amounts were like 2 to 5 inches was like, so what? We've been getting that, it seems like, every other day. Not quite, but in California with the terrain and so forth, that's bad news, especially when you're not used to it. And it came down very quickly, and it caused flash flooding. And I think there have been a couple of deaths. I'm not sure. But so it's been a pretty bad situation indeed.
Yeah. You want to ask a question, Nicole?
Yeah. I keep seeing this all over Instagram, people calling it the hurricane, because there was an earthquake yesterday as well. Do you want to – is it typical for that to kind of happen around this big tropical storm?
Well, earthquakes are more – well, no, I mean, I don't think the correlation, there's really any correlation between the tropical storm and the earthquake, but earthquakes are somewhat more common than tropical storms in California, obviously. But yeah, you put the two together and it's probably was pretty scary. Earthquake was, I think, a 5 or 5.1 magnitude. So it wasn't huge, but it was more than just a tremor. So, but apparently it didn't cause too much additional damage, at least initially. But yeah, that'd be a little scary to be in the middle of a tropical storm with 60, 70 mile hour winds, thrashing rains, and then having a earthquake. That's just got to be a little more than rattling.
Yeah. So is hurricane an official term or just a cool word people are just kind of passing around on the internet?
I think it's a cool word right now. I mean, I don't think I've never heard that before, but I think it's a cool word. But, you know, it may become a word now that we have that.
Okay. Thanks.
So I'm wondering, with summer beginning to wind down, we have about a month left, what kind of weather can we expect in the coming weeks? And is it even really predictable with all the big changes in the weather lately?
Yeah, I mean, we can give an idea. I mean, predictable, not down to the degree or anything, but we can get an idea. By the way, I want to point out that the Hurricane Nora, or Tropical Storm Nora, helped contribute to what's happening across the rest of the country, a very large dome of high pressure aloft. It's like a heat dome is occupying most of the country. Temperatures have reached well over 100 and 100 and teens. I think in places in Kansas, over almost 115 degrees. I kid you not. So about as hot as Phoenix was in July, just fiercely hot. And this ridge, a lot of times these ridges will start to extend further east, but this one will probably not do that. In fact, what's happening is we got a little touch. We were right on the edge of the warm air today, but now a cold front's coming through, a backdoor front, and it's going to shut it down. And we're going to have a gorgeous week with temperatures in the 70s, low humidity, comfortable, lots of sunshine. We might get 3 days in a row without rain, which we haven't officially done. Are you ready for this? Since June 23rd. So we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. Now, one last thing
about
Nora.
What region are you referencing here? What region of the
world? Well, I'm mentioning our region. I mean, I'm talking about home here, Albany, that the heat is going to stay to our west and south. We're not going to get into that.
Just
want
to be clear on that.
Right. No, I thank you for making me clarify that. But some of the moisture, believe it or not, from Hillary, ready for this, is going to ride over the ridge and may get us on Friday. Now, I don't think it's going to be a lot of rain, but we actually might get a little bit of moisture from Hillary, believe it or not, thousands of miles away over us towards the weekend. Now, the weekend looks like, hopefully, if everything works out, Friday and Thursday, a little showery, and then by the weekend, especially by Sunday, the weather should turn nice again. So, but no heat. It looks like we're going to stay on the cool side of the northwesterly flow, and that ridge is going to stay south and eventually weaken, but it's very powerful right now.
Awesome. Well, we asked our audience for any questions for you, and here's what Ian DeSoucy, and I apologize if I pronounced your last name wrong, Ian, asked, what do meteorologists think when the weather gets it wrong?
In other words, when we get the forecast wrong. It's like when weathermen or meteorologists forecast incorrectly. I assume that's what you mean by that question.
Yes.
Okay. Well, believe it or not, it happens to everyone. It's happened to me. I could spend a lot of time talking about some of my bad forecasts. I had a few. It's a humbling. As my one boss said in Scranton once, a long time ago, meteorology is a humbling business, because I was forecasting for this highway company. It was not going to rain, and all of a sudden, the rain shield blossomed. This is back in the 90s, blossomed over just south of Scranton, and it was just so frustrating. And anyway, it is a humbling business. It's not an exact science. Basically, you can get 6 out of 7 right, but that one that people usually remember is the one you don't get right. And basically, the best thing you can do as a meteorologist is to learn by your mistakes. And I'll tell you, the folks in the National Weather Service do that all the time. They always, when they make it a significant problem with the forecast, they go back and research what happened, what we can do to make it better. The problem is there's always, it's never exactly, the scenario never plays out the exact same. So you may have something that looks pretty similar next time, but it won't be the exact same. So, but hopefully your experience, you can catch upon it and get some insight that can make your forecast better. But every meteorologist has had their bad day.
So we have about 2 minutes left. Just to finish out this interview here, we kind of touched on this, but will the high pressure and heat be moving into our region?
No, it does not look as if it will. There were a couple of model runs back a few week or so ago trying to build the heat into our area, but now the consensus is it's going to stay to our west. What's going to happen is that the ridge is going to flatten out and sink south eventually by next week and replaced by a more broad northwesterly flow. And it could be a cool start to early September, late August, early September. I mean, this has not been a super hot summer, as you know. I think we've only hit 90 like 7 times this summer. No heat waves, no 3 days in a row. Our hottest temperature, I believe, might have been back in early June. I haven't checked that offhand, but I think we hit 94, 95 one day, and that's, that's pretty hot, but that's the only time we've done that. So, yeah, I think it's not looking like we're going to, really see any big heat waves anytime soon, and we're, starting to run out of time. And by the way, on September 3rd, if we don't hit 100 degrees, we will have gone 70 years without hitting 100 degrees officially in Albany.
Wow.
That's right, 70 years. 1953 was the last time we did it.
Wow. All right. That's great news to me, because I don't like the heat. Well, we're finishing up here. Any final thoughts in the last like 30 seconds?
Yeah. Enjoy the weather. It's going to be a nice week. We'll finally get a little break from the rain. We'll probably get things to dry out a little bit. So, and very pleasant temperatures. So I want everybody to enjoy, get out and enjoy the weather. Won't be too many bugs out there, hopefully. So, we haven't had a great summer, so we'll have a nice week here coming up, and maybe we'll do it again towards Labor Day, but we'll see. Keep our fingers crossed.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to talking with you next week.
You got it. Bye-bye.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Stay tuned to your creative community solar-powered radio station today for all kinds of creative community programming, including at 11 a.m. Tune in Maria Manhattan with the Hudson Cafe live in Hudson, the WGXC studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. Then we head to Main Street in Catskill at noon after the local news for the Bedazzled Radio Hour for 2 hours with Spike Priggen, live from his Spike's Record Rack on Main Street. At 4 p.m., we head down Route 23 to Acre for the WGXC Afternoon Show. And today we will hear from Carol Russoff, director of the upcoming production of Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream at the Churchtown Dairy Round Barn. At 8 p.m., we're back in Catskill, live from the Avalon Lounge with a Songwriters in the Round show with Becky Pine, M.K. Skulls, Ian Hirschenreuter, and Griffin Keevil. Turn out or tune into the show at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on the radio at 8 p.m. at WGXC.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Molly Burke reports for the Times Union that New York's slow rollout of legal cannabis stores has stopped moving after State Supreme Court Justice Kevin R. Bryant issued an injunction August 18th, halting New York's marijuana licensing program. Bryant ruled that regulators had, and I quote, failed to follow the clear language of the applicable legislation, end quote, that legalized cannabis. Bryant ruled that the state did not follow the language of the 2021 legislation statute. The judge said that New York fast-tracked applicants with past cannabis convictions at the expense of other, and I quote, social equity, end quote, applicants, including minority and women-owned businesses, as well as disabled military veterans. Applicants for stores now face confusion over the rules and this court order blocking new licensing. The lawsuit was filed by four service-disabled veterans alleging the state unlawfully prioritized applicants with prior drug convictions while excluding others. So 2 years after New York legalized cannabis, only a few stores are open in the state and no more will open with this court order in place. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Patrick R. Doxey reports in the Daily Freeman that Ulster County taxpayers will pay $75,000 and insurance costs to settle a defamation lawsuit brought by a former public defender, Andrew Crossover, against the county and former county executive Pat Ryan. Jason Kovacs, a Republican candidate for the county legislature, released a copy of the settlement agreement after filing a request for the document under the state's Freedom of Information Act. Crossover and his wife, Victoria, sued for $700,000 after Ryan deliberately made, and I quote, false and derogatory statements, end quote, to the press in a February 14, 2020 press release announcing Crossover had resigned after he, and I quote, repeatedly and inexplicably failed, end quote, to submit routine and required paperwork. The press release blamed Crossover for the county missing out on nearly $2.5 million in state aid. Later, an audit by the Ulster County Comptroller's Office found that the county did not receive grant funds because of former county executive Mike Hines' office, which refused to allow Crossover to hire enough staff to receive the state funding. Crossover claimed that Ryan's comments caused, and I quote, severe humiliation, loss of reputation and good standing in the community, mental anguish, and severe emotional and physical distress, end quote, as well as loss of employment opportunities, loss of income, and economic damage. Ryan is now a congressperson representing the 18th Congressional District. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. The Berkshire Eagle reports that there will be delays on I-90 in several Berkshire towns this week as the Massachusetts Department of Transportation will be working on overnight pavement marking, slope repair, guardrail, and bridge repair operations near Lee, Beckett, West Stockbridge, and Stockbridge August 21st through August 25th. There will be lane closures and slower traffic in work zones. Drivers should expect delays, reduced speeds, read the construction signs, and use caution. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, it will be sunny with a high near 77 degrees. Wednesday night, a slight chance of showers after 11 p.m. There will be increasing clouds with a temperature low of around 60 degrees. And on Thursday, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 5 p.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature high near 67 degrees. And Thursday night, showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm. It will be cloudy with a temperature low of around 63 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia Counties.
We'll be right back.